really get to the place where that's just how they live, and that they can do all the other things in that place, even the daily chores, even the daily things that have to be done, that they can do all things from that place. And that there's such an open connection that at any moment they can just check in and say, what do I do with this? Here's what you do. I ask that you bring your people to this place where the Holy Spirit can release the giftings of God and the fruits of God through each person. I pray that this becomes a priority for us. Too long we've left your presence behind while we stayed busy about other things. Too long the body of Christ has been busy about everything in the world and yet has not walked in the kind of power and the kind of love and the kind of compassion that comes only from one place. You know, compassion and power don't come from knowledge. Now, knowledge is extremely important, especially if you're battling. Knowledge is very important. Doctrine is very important. Paul told Timothy, give attention to reading. It is important, but where the real compassion and the love of God and the fruit of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit come from is when we come into a place, lock into a place where we're one with Him. And so the reason it's important to overcome the things that hinder us, I would like to just break off if there's any thinking in this room that people worry about. You know, we all have inabilities and inadequacies and failures. Every person in this room and every person in the body of Christ and every person on this planet, except for the person of the Holy Spirit, every one of us has shortcomings and failings and moments. You know, we all have our moments. Everybody does. And the enemy wants you to look at those things and measure with a false standard of measure, a false ruler. He wants you to measure those things so that you will be unable to enter the presence. Because God has given a wide open door, a gold engraved invitation, paved it with His blood, and made a way, calling everyone, really every day. There's an invitation in the book of Hebrews every second of every day. It never goes away. He never blots it out. Come in with boldness. Come in to the Holy of Holies. Come in by the new and living way. Come in by the blood of the Lamb. Come in, come in. He's ever beckoning, ever calling. Come in, come in, come in. The enemy in our flesh is ever saying, stay out, stay out, stay out, stay out. And it is the great fear of our enemy that we will stay out. And he will try whatever works. And with some people, busyness works. You know, being busy in the church will sometimes get you so busy. And you're doing good things, and they're good. But if that keeps you out of hanging out with the Lord, then it can actually be a work of the enemy. So we have to find a place where we know how to balance our lives and balance our thinking and restructure our priorities. You know, I am a very functional person. I like to get it done. I like accomplishment. I want things done. I want to see action. And so for me, one of my greatest failings and one of the greatest enemies of my life has been my own thinking about accomplishing something for God. Now, that's not wrong. God probably, to some extent, put that in me, and it's great to accomplish things for God, but you cannot truly accomplish anything with real power without being in God. And if doing stuff for God replaces being in God, then the stuff we do for Him will never be very powerful, very fruitful. It won't show Him. It won't reveal Him. And so it's not really such a great accomplishment. And so you have to look at your life, you have to look at your own life. Every one of us is different. For some people, it will be For some people, the enemy knows that guilt, feeling guilty, will keep them out. So he'll beat that drum for the rest of your life until you learn truth in that area and overcome that. There's someone in here, you have such a strong measuring stick. You have this like measuring stick, and you measure everything by this thing. And God loves you so very much, but you've measured yourself by it. You've measured everyone else by it. You've measured the church by it. You measure everything by this. God's not mad at you, but he wants to break that thing. He wants to take that thing and break it over his knee, because it's a false standard of measure. It's not a true measure. It's something you were given, I think, when you were very young. And I just see this yardstick, and it hurts everything it touches, because because nothing can really ever measure up to that sort of standard of measure. And you know, in the Bible, God says so that he really hates a scale that is incorrect or measurements that are incorrect. You know, he wants us to come before him. And one of the things, when we come before him, we know we come with all our faults and all our flaws, all our mistakes, all of our, you know, every time we blew it, or, you know, we come into the presence with all that. But in the presence, our perspective is like, you know, to me, every time I sit with the Lord, every time he speaks a truth to me, every time I hear him say even one sentence, it's like my perspective, it's like a camera lens going into focus. Where if you ever, in the old days, you know, before digital, you'd have a camera and it'd be focused on something, and you'd turn the lens and something would come into focus and something would blur. Well, that's how it is sitting with the Lord. And every day of my life, I can pretty much say every day, I mean, there's so many times that God corrects me. Not in anger, but because he loves me. Because he loves you, he corrects you. I love the correction of the Lord. Today he told me something that, you know, I was having a problem, and I didn't know what the problem was, and I knew something wasn't right, but I couldn't place it. You know, something's out of order. Something's wrong, Lord. What is it? I can, you know. And he said in one sentence something I was thinking incorrectly. This is very common for me. Well, the reason is I've sought him for many years to live in a place where we can have that kind of interaction. Because to have that kind of interaction, I can now deal with my issues, deal with what keeps me out of the presence, deal with the distraction or the busyness or whatever the problem is. See, because what has happened with us is some of us we all have like ideas and goals and dreams of what would be maybe success for us. And everybody's different. And for many years, my ideas were a little skewed. And I was in love with God, and I wanted to do great things for him, and I wanted him to do great things through me. And God began to correct that thinking. And it was pretty shocking. And he still corrects me. He's still correcting me and changing me, because I wasn't thinking like Jesus. You know, I wasn't thinking like Jesus. Well, what I notice is that the more we allow the Lord to make adjustments, you know, to correct and adjust a little here and a little there, you know, correct a little here and a little there, what happens is we gradually become molded more and more into, I want to say, like a doorway that he can operate through. You know, some people might call it a pipeline. God has often showed it to me as a pipeline. You know, people have a pipeline that's maybe a little gunked up with some of their stuff. So when God asks you to clean out your stuff or repent, you know, it's not in the old way of you repent or boy, you're going to get blasted. No, repent, because as you repent, what happens is you walk away from the lie, you embrace the truth, you clean out your pipe, and two things happen. The first thing that happens when you clean out an area that's junky is you shut the door to the devil. If the devil has inroads to your house, if the devil has inroads to your life, a lot of times he has been given legal access, but we don't always know that. It doesn't always mean you're out committing adultery or fornication, although that will certainly open a door. But sometimes we're even thinking or doing things that we actually think are right, but are actually an open door to the enemy. And we're getting clocked and don't know why. And so it's very helpful for me anyway to continually sit with the Lord, go before the Lord and ask him, what's going on with this? Now, that didn't come overnight. That was a relationship that we've developed over many years where, you know, we developed a relationship of being together. So it's pretty hard for me to have a bad day. Almost impossible, in fact. It's impossible for me to, almost impossible for me to really, even if something bad happens, even if I'm having a rough time, it's very difficult for me to have a bad day because the Lord and I have walked together a long time and I've trained some things. Now, I may not look like a person who's trained their flesh. I haven't trained that whole weight thing yet, have I? But I'm training some things and have been for many years. There are some areas that have been defeated in my life to the uttermost. And because of it, in those areas, God and I have constant fellowship. You see? And I'm telling you, that should be our priority. And here's the good news. Every single believer can have that. A friend of mine said something she thought was a compliment to me, but it made me mad. I didn't tell her. She said, I always knew you had a special relationship with the Lord because of the way you can hear him. Well, she meant that as a compliment, and I'm thankful for that. That was very nice. But the case is, this is the relationship he's called every person to. It's for everyone. Anyone can have it. I'm not special. I'm not different. Everybody can have this. God is calling every single person, come on in. I didn't leave anybody out. I shed my blood for the whole world. Anybody can come to a place where they live in my presence. And what begins to happen is you're almost like a little Godmobile. It doesn't mean I'm perfect. I'm telling you, I know there's still some areas I'm really working on. You know, by no means do I have it perfected. I'm not saying that, but I'll tell you one thing. I can be in a store and I don't even have to say it out loud. It's almost like inwardly I turn to God. What about this? Here's what you do. Do you know how easy life is? When you develop a relationship of hearing him. Something happened the other day and there was a temptation to be afraid that it was something big. And the Lord just quietly said, no, it's not that. It's not that. Ah, all right. Saved me a lot of worry. Because see, I know him. And if he says it's okay, it's okay. End of discussion. Years ago, I might have said, was that me? Was that him? Was that me? Was that really you, Lord? Oh, that was the enemy. I wouldn't have understood, but I'm telling you, if you dedicate yourself to the presence of the Lord, the presence of the Lord dedicates itself to you. What you sow is what you reap. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, so will he also reap. What you put into this relationship is what you get out of this relationship. If you are a person that walks in heavy judgment of other people, you are going to have a rough life, let me just tell you. Life will be very hard for you. When you walk in heavy judgment of other people, you open the door of judgment on yourself. And I don't even think it's God that's judging you. It's like the Word of God. You know, if you... I remember... I remember a guy, he's actually a good friend of ours. He was real harsh on people that had a weight issue. And he had a judgment about it. And do you know, he told me that he made a judgment and then the next year he gained 50 pounds in a year and never has been able to take that thing off. Now, I'm not rejoicing in that. I'm saying we have to be very careful of judgment. My Bible school teacher told us a story once. She said her father was an alcoholic, and he would not work. He just wouldn't work, wouldn't hold down a job. And she and her sister grew up, you know, it was very tough, you know, because they were always poor and they had all these problems. And she said she never judged him for being an alcoholic, but she judged him for not working. Her sister didn't judge him for not working, but she judged him for being an alcoholic. And she said years later, they both got married. Her husband would not work, would not hold down a job, and her sister's husband was an alcoholic. Now, I don't know how that works. I don't believe God did that to him, but I will tell you, some kind of door opens when you make a judgment. Now, God has given me a gift of mercy. I'm very merciful, you know, but it's not anything I'm doing right. It's just a gift. It's just a gift. I tend to be very, very merciful, but I have, even God has corrected me on being judgmental to some people, you know, critical. And I try to be very careful not to criticize, because I don't want problems in my life, thank you. You know, I don't need that kind of help. So I try not to have an opinion about those things. Because God's the only true judge. He's the only one that really knows what's going on. And He knows the heart. I've had people come and stand before me in prayer line that in the natural, you know, I just think, you know, they're just in rank sin and it looks bad. And boy, you just wonder, oof, you know, they stink. You know, in the natural and in the spirit, they stink because they're involved in demonic stuff. And yet I have felt compassion of a heavenly kind that I don't have in me, you know, except for God. You know, in the natural, I wouldn't have this. A compassion flood through me for them where I just love them. And because what? God is looking at the inside. He's looking at their heart and not their outward manifestation or their outward appearance. And we need to start dealing more like He does. Sometimes people have, some of you might have inroads where the enemy's got an inroad to your life and you're upset at the enemy, you're upset at people, you might even be blaming other people. But a lot of times there is a, I'll call it legal, there is a spiritual legal reason for it. And it may not be that you're in sin, it may be wrong thinking, it may be something you just need to release, it may be a soul tie. But my point is this, when you live with Him in that place, it's easy to troubleshoot. That might sound a little funny. But things happen in the spirit for a reason. You know, when we're young in the Lord, we just think, well, you know, it just happened. Some things just happened. Or God wanted it this way. God sovereignly did it that way. But what I find is there is actually reasons that things happen the way they happen. There are reasons. If you don't put gas in your car, it will run out of gas. And so the way Christians are, they would run out of gas and they would say, why did God let this happen? Well, God didn't let it happen, you let it happen. You didn't put gas in your car. Why? There was a natural law. A car will go so far and no further without gas. Well, we are like this in the realm of the Spirit. Things happen, and instead of asking God, what could I have done better? You know, and this isn't to beat yourself up or make yourself feel bad or feel guilty. All that stuff is hogwash. Jesus washed your sins away. You're forgiven. Hallelujah. But what do we do now to walk in victory and give Him what He wants? How can we give Him what He wants? What does God want? God wants people. What can you give God? What can you take before the throne when you go? You can worship Him, but what else can you give Him? The only thing you can give Him is someone. Someone whose life you touched for Him. Or someone who wasn't connected to Him and somehow you got him reconciled to God. You know, what else can you give God? Well, how do we do that? How do we manifest Him? How do we cause people to see Him and not our stinking flesh? The only way that I know is to somehow come to a place where He manifests Himself through us. Well, it's if you're the pipe, you got to be connected. You have to be standing under that heavenly flow. And like I said, busyness will keep you here and there and everywhere, everywhere except under the spout. But you can train, I'm telling you, you can train your flesh, and it happens just like this. The first day that you go to try to sit with God, I'm telling you, your mind will come up with 1,000 things you're supposed to be doing, and none of them are really important. Oh, I better go pay the bills. Oh, but if you're watching TV, you wouldn't feel that unction. Hallelujah. Oh, I was supposed to call so-and-so. Really, if you were in the middle of a good movie, you wouldn't need to call him. See, our priorities, we are so led by our emotions Some of you need to tell your emotions to shut up and sit down and obey. My emotions get zero say in this. Because I learned a long time ago that if I were led by my emotions, it would be my destruction. People who are led by their emotions have constant trouble. We need to be led by the Spirit of God. And so, if we even use simple logic and sat down and honestly prioritized all the real stuff we need to do, and I'm not saying there's not, I got a list a mile long. I really do. I mean, I work full-time, I have a lot of projects, you know, I got a 91-year-old husband, hallelujah. I got stuff to do. I got a list, a long, I have a list so long I put it in Excel, and it's multiple sheets by multiple subjects, okay? I hate opening that thing. But there isn't a thing on there that is more important than hanging out with him, you know? Now, I do other things, don't get me wrong. I play computer games. Oh, don't shoot me, I do. Yes, I watch old movies. I like old movies. I do. But if you sat down and really prioritized, you find that in the scope of eternity, when you come before him, a whole bunch of stuff's just going to be washed away, and you'll be standing naked before the Lord with only in your hands anything that happened between you and the Holy Ghost. You know, what was done by the Spirit is what will last. If you did something in your flesh because you thought it was a great idea, I remember one time I got this great idea for an outreach. Boy, was it a good idea. And boy, was it a flop. It totally wasn't God. I didn't pray. I didn't pray properly. I didn't ask God his opinion. You know, he probably told me, bad idea. We rented this place, spent the money, got the band. Totally wasn't God. And totally was a flop. I never did that again. I learned. But my point is, that was what? It was a work of the flesh. A work of the flesh because it came from my idea, my opinion, my great idea. But if I had done the same thing by the leading of the Holy Spirit, now that's a work of the Spirit. Guess what stands the day before you stand before him is anything that the Holy Ghost did through you, everything you did with him, anything that he led you to do and you did stands forever. In all eternity, it's like a monument to your life. You know, the Bible says that if we build wood, hay, and stubble, that'll burn. It says the man will get in, but so as by fire. In other words, if you're saved, you'll get in, but all this stuff you built, you know, a lot of these people who try to build ministries on their great prowess and their intellectual theology and stuff like that, you know, which that's good, by the way. Theology is actually good. We need to get, you know, we need to learn. But people who base all their stuff on decisions they made, well, I think I'll go do this for God, it's a work of the flesh. And usually it's a flop. And on that day, that's wood, hay, and stubble, and just burns up. But if the same person humbles themselves before God and says, "What, you know, I don't really know what to do, God. You know, I feel like maybe you're saying this. What are you really saying to me? And if I'm not sure, I'm going to maybe fast and pray, maybe spend some time until I am sure. And I'm the sort of person that if I'm not sure what he's saying, I'll make him say it 50 times. You know, that's called relationship. If you're standing in front of me at the altar sometimes, and I'm standing here praying in tongues, I'll tell you a lot of times what's happening is I saw a picture and I don't understand it. Or he told me a sentence and I'm not sure what that means and I don't want to interpret it wrong. So I'm praying in tongues and under my breath I'm saying, I plead the blood of Jesus. Which means, God, you're going to have to say it again, say it again, say it again, until I'm absolutely sure that this is really you. I'll make him say it again. It doesn't upset him, because we're friends. And he knows that I don't want to hurt someone. I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to do the wrong thing. It's okay if you're not sure what God is saying. It's okay to sit on it until you're sure. But when you're sure and you go do it, guess what? That was a work of the Spirit. And you'll see the effects of it. You will see things change in the earth any time you cooperate with the Holy Spirit. When you get to know him personally, you know, before I understood that he was a person, I understood that he was, you know, the presence and the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. I thought it was some big ethereal, you know, vague who knew. But I began to understand he was a person, a friend, someone that Jesus sent to help us in everything that we do. Knows the answer to every question on the face of the earth. Understands physics. Knows how to create. When the Lord said, "Let there be," it was the power of the Spirit that made it. When the Lord said, "Let there be," it was the Holy Ghost that formed it. You are dealing with the person who creates mountains or tears them down. If you imagine the most powerful volcano or the most earth-shaking tsunami, that is a tiny speck of power compared to the power of the Spirit. This is who we are dealing with. And this is who lives in you. And this is who is your best friend. And this is who waits for you to turn to him and say, "What do you think I should do?" We're dealing with a power so vast, such creative power. Now, he has restricted himself because of the word of the Father. He's restricted himself so that he doesn't do anything on the earth except a man give voice to him. Isn't that amazing? He's got the power. He could take this planet and it's gone. He has all that power. It's nothing to him. I mean, that would be very easy for him. He has the power to, you know, wipe this universe out and start a whole nother one. He has that power. That's him. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. God arranged for that power to live in you and me. At the same time, arranging for the love of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit to live in you and me. The compassion, the mercy, the faithfulness. All of that to live in us. And do you know that we largely ignore it? We say, "Oh God, you know, give me this gift. Oh God, give me that gift." But the fact is, he did. The fact is, he released it at the ascension when he sprinkled the blood. He poured it out. But it's people who make the choice what they will press into. If they press into being a superior Christian, you know, there's so much ambition in the United States. I don't know if it's like this in other countries. I don't know. Every culture is different. But in our culture, we're very ambitious. We're very prideful. And a lot of people in the body want to be seen as the biggest, the best, and the most spiritual. Really. A lot of people want to be used in power gifts because they want people to know they've got the juice. And they want to feel like they're approved by God and somehow that would show it. But that is actually a false belief system. You're already approved by God, not because of anything you ever did right. You already have his stamp of approval, his love, his Spirit. What we do with that is what changes the world. So God desires a people who will begin to live their life with a deep reverence and respect for the Holy Spirit. I deeply reverence and respect him, in spite of the fact that he's my closest friend. I love him. I've come to know him as a person and a friend. I love him with a passion. We talk about everything. When I'm all wrong and I know I'm wrong, when I'm frustrated, I read something the other night in a book, and it was written by a great person, a famous person, and it flew in the face of everything I believe. And it deeply upset me. And this book was, you know, had the stamp of approval of all these famous people, and it was full of something that just to me was so dead wrong, and it was deeply upsetting. I couldn't go to sleep. I'm like so upset by this book. Well, you better know we had some conversations for a few days. Because I have to come to terms with this. What do you mean? Is that true? Because if that's true, then everything that I said over here is not true. So you have to work me through this. And some people would spend a year on that, not me. I'm not going to bed. We're having this conversation. I need to understand this. When you get a hold, in the old days they said get a hold of the horns of the altar. Amen. Get a hold and don't let go. Is I'm not leaving until you tell me. I'm not leaving until I understand. I'm not going anywhere, so you might as well talk. When you talk to God that way, He starts talking. He's looking for people who will train themselves to be open to His Spirit. Your spirit, whether you know it or not, can open or shut. Now, this is, I'm not talking about a physical thing. Don't get all funny on me. But I'm telling you, if I, right now, I'm preaching by the Holy Spirit because I opened the minute we start a meeting, Holy Ghost, what do you want to do? And I had to learn that over the years, okay? But what I'm saying is, if I'm at the gas station pumping gas, and somebody said, okay, preach to me, I'd have to turn and say, oh, okay, open. It wouldn't just happen. He wouldn't just drop it on me. I'll try to make this, I'm trying to help you. I don't know if this is helping or not, but I'm going to try. I went to a church of a friend of mine. A friend of mine was a pastor, a great man of God, and he's in the front, and I'm way in the back, and me and Edgar just visited, and I'm like, oh, I'm visiting, you know. Got the day off. Hallelujah. You preach. And the pastor says to me, Holly, if you get a word, come up. And I wanted to say, well, it doesn't work that way. If I get up, I'll get a word. If I stand up and preach, I can preach for an hour or 5 minutes because it's not me. I've learned how to open to the Holy Spirit. Now, I know there are prophets who might be in the back and all of a sudden they're like, boing, and then they have this word. And that's great, but that's not me. What I'm trying to tell you is that you can develop your spiritual sensitivity. Do you know there's a scripture that says that people, by means of use, have trained themselves to discern good from evil by reason of use. Well, that's the same way in the Spirit. By reason of constant attention to the Holy Spirit, you grow perceptive to the Holy Spirit. Okay? Before I understood Him, I knew God was talking to me. God told me stuff. God gave me hope for the future. He gave me scriptures. He would teach me things. I had no idea it was the Holy Spirit. I didn't understand the Father was in heaven. And generally speaking, when the Father speaks, it's an audible, booming voice that you hear outwardly. Edgar has heard that voice. I have not. I've never heard an audible voice. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Yea, God. But the Holy Spirit is living here, in you and me. So many times when He talks, it's a still, small voice that comes from within. Amen? And many times when He talks, people say, well, that must not have been the Lord. That might have been me. Okay? What I'm trying to say to you is that God desires you to open your life to Him as not just a servant, but a closest friend, a best friend, a bride. A true bride and bridegroom. You know, we've seen many troubled and problematic bride and bridegrooms. We've seen all kinds of things. But a true bride and bridegroom, in the sense that the Lord uses it, is a relationship of great intimacy where the deepest secrets are shared. You share your deepest secrets. I mean, God and I talk about everything. If I screw up, I don't have a problem going to God and saying, man, I really screwed up. What do I do to change that propensity in me so that I don't do that again? You know, I don't just go, oh, forgive me, and move on, because then it'll happen again and happen again and happen again. No, Lord, dig that out. Help me dig that out of there. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to do that. I don't have that attitude. I don't know if I'm helping anybody. But God is desiring a people who will put the Holy Spirit, I want to say, you put Him first place. Now, to do that is to put Jesus first place. He is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He always points the way to Jesus. He always glorifies Jesus. When we worship by the Spirit, it is the Holy Spirit in us glorifying Jesus. Amen? And Jesus revered the Holy Spirit so much, He said, a person can blaspheme the Father or the Son and it would be forgiven them, but if they blaspheme the Holy Spirit, it will never be forgiven them in this age or in the age to come. That is a terrifying scripture. Now, He said it because the Pharisees actually did it. They actually blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Jesus had cast out a devil by the Spirit of God. That means Jesus in his flesh didn't just do it. By the Holy Spirit in him, the Spirit of God tagged that thing and said, come out. That thing left, and the Pharisees said, well, he did that by the prince of devils. They called a work of the Holy Spirit a work of the enemy, blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Bad news for them. That's blasphemy. So that tells me, though, here's what that tells me, is that Jesus deeply loves the Holy Spirit. He reveres him. He respected him. He based his ministry on him. He said, I do nothing but what I see the Father in heaven doing. That is another way of saying, I'm looking in the Spirit. I'm operating by the Spirit. You cannot see heaven except by the Holy Ghost. Jesus had no miracles in his life until he received the Spirit of God. The dove descended on him. From that day, there were miracles. Before that, no miracles. Now, Jesus was fully the Son of God, yes. But he was showing us how it's done. So if we try to do it some other way, it doesn't work very well. If we try to do it some other way, it doesn't work. The way he did it was to attune himself. He was a man of the Spirit. That's why it says, those who are led by the Spirit of God shall be called the sons of God. Why? Because that's how the sons of God get it done. That's how the Son of God got it done. And so when I began to find out that the Holy Spirit lived in my house, had the answer to every human question that ever has been or ever will be, knew the answer to any programming problem I might ever face, any other problem I might ever face, I began to make a conscious decision to consult with him about everything. Big things, little things. Some people think that's weird. I don't care. They don't move in power. Hallelujah. They don't preach well. I don't care. And when I began to grow the custom of consulting him about everything, I began to find that life got easier and easier and easier as I would get a hold of his opinion. And at first there was a learning process, how to hear his voice, how to know it was him. But as I learned how to walk with him, I found, you know, you've heard me quote it many times. My preacher friend said years and years and years ago, I don't know much, but I know one thing. There's a high road to success, and it's called the walk of the Spirit. I didn't know what that meant, but I said, that's what I want. I'm going to spend my life learning the walk of the Spirit. And what I found was this. There's a high road to success, and it's called the walk of the Spirit, which means prioritizing his opinion above your own, putting him first above your own emotions or feelings or logic. That's coming from a programmer. We base everything on logic. We're very analytical. This is what makes sense. Yeah, well, guess what? It didn't work. Should have asked the Holy Ghost. But you can actually train yourself to begin to elevate the Holy Spirit above your own mindset, your own measuring stick, your own opinion. And when you begin to do that, you develop a lifestyle of walking in that garden that we were singing about earlier, walking with him, learning from him. You may have heavenly experiences, you may not. But what you can have is a relationship that will cause your life to begin to flourish. He will help you overcome. There's a lot of hindrances, you know, in life. There's hindrances to walking in victory. There's hindrances to even hearing him. But if you come to him honestly and say, listen, I need to know you. I need to understand what you're telling me. Teach me this book. I don't get it. You know, I read Isaiah and it makes no sense. Help. Help me, Holy Ghost. And you begin to invite him into everything. Keep inviting him into everything. Invite him with your questions. Holy Spirit, how does this work? How does that work? I don't understand it. What do you think about this? Should I learn this tool or should I go over there? Lord, I have an issue with my career. Should I go that way or do you want me to go this way? Show me what to do. And you begin to elevate him. He begins to move into every area that you give him. Doesn't happen overnight. But you can develop a lifestyle of overcoming because he will always help you overcome. I'm just going to say this. Someone still feels, they still battle that thing of God being mad at them. God's not mad at you. The judgment for everything you ever did wrong, and guess what, even the things you're going to do wrong, The judgment for that went on Jesus at the cross. You were judged at the cross. The judgment for you and me went on Him. And what we do for Him now to walk in holiness, we do because it's right, because we love Him, because holiness pleases God. Not because we have to do it or we're going to get hit with that heavenly yardstick, but because it's the right thing, because we love our Father and we want to honor Him by walking holy. Amen? So God has so much more for you. I don't know if this has made any sense or not, but I pray that your lives become living manifestations of God by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.